So the hydrogen market is expected to grow. In about 2018, it was 69 million tons per annum of hydrogen consumption. It's expected to grow significantly into the future. Some studies putting it, growing 8 times. While it doesn't constitute a very high amount of our final energy demand today, maybe approaching 20% of our energy demands in the future. If we look at what various countries have set up as their as various goals for cleaning up their energy supplies or consuming green hydrogen sources for things like steel making, chemicals, fertilizers, processes, all these other kinds of things, we add those up, it does look like that the hydrogen market is going to grow significantly. And I'll talk a little bit about kind of what that means for Texas, since we're already so tied to all the other global markets for other sources of energy. So hydrogen really improves. There's always been this kind of like chicken and egg issue with hydrogen, and hydrogen seems to be waves of interest in hydrogen that come along every decade or so, because a lot of it does require kind of an integrated infrastructure, and so it can be kind of this chicken and egg type problem. Is like, do we have the infrastructure to create the demand, which would then, if we have if we have high demand, then that can create economies of scale in the deployment of infrastructure. And so there's always been that kind of that chicken and egg issue. And a lot of studies have looked at our energy system and using hydrogen in a lot of things, be that for heat, for power, for storage, for chemical processes, definitely improves economics if we're able to harness economies of scale and generate massive amounts of hydrogen to be used in our energy economies. So hydrogen can be transported in several ways. Alluded to earlier, there's already some countries that are blending hydrogen with CH4 or methane or natural gas, and for the use in conventional pipelines. There's a lot of work that's kind of going into that sector because we've been building pipelines for a long time. Don't have to tell people in Texas that necessarily, but the standards for steel and things like that have changed over time. And there is some concern that high levels of hydrogen running through pipes that are made of certain types of steel can increase the embrittlement of that steel, which can lead to failures. And hydrogen is a very small molecule. As we saw in the periodic table, the top left is the smallest element that exists. And so it's whenever it's traveling through a pipeline or really any kind of receptacle, as small as it is, it's easy to find cracks or leaks or any of that type of thing. And even though molecules of methane are much they're also very small relative to how we normally think of things being big and small. Methane is a large molecule relative to hydrogen. So hydrogen flowing through pipelines that have been designed for natural gas can actually can see a lot higher leakage rates because the molecule is able to just to squeeze through such small little bits. But if it's low levels of blending, maybe it doesn't matter kind of as much. But and so if we have things like dedicated hydrogen pipelines, dedicated hydrogen compressors, and dedicated hydrogen infrastructure, it generally has to be built to a pretty high tolerance, particularly compressors and things like that, in order to be able to move that hydrogen along. Because if we use the same stuff we use for these bigger gases and these other things, then we would probably end up leaking a lot of that, which is not great. We can compress or liquefy hydrogen like we do for natural gas. And so there are compressed hydrogen, there are compressed natural gas trucks that run off of compressor CNG. And then, you know, we, Texas and the Gulf Coast region, the U.S. in general is becoming a big exporter of liquefied natural gas or LNG. And we can move liquid around on by a truck or via ship. In general, liquid trucks can carry much more than compressed trucks, but they do cost more whenever you're looking to move that infrastructure. And then there's other carriers, right? These are hydrogen that is bonded to some other elements that make other things like ammonia, which is nitrogen and hydrogen arranged, is a carrier for hydrogen. So we can actually make ammonia and then tear it apart later and get the hydrogen if we wanted to transport it. It's easier to transport things like ammonia. This could be a liquid versus gas. There's methanol. There's formulaic acid, and then methane itself, natural gas itself is a carrier of hydrogen. In fact, probably one of the most famous carriers of hydrogen, because we generate a lot of our hydrogen production today comes from ripping that carbon off of the hydrogen in natural gas to separate them out through a process called steam methane reforming.